Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting ready for my friend Pomp to hand the mic to Mike Tomlin. Cam Hayward, I was just mentioning him from PFF, Pro Football Focus, is just on a heater right now. Three-game winning streak, two sacks, a QB hit, and 14 hurries. So he leads all interior linemen in the NFL in terms of their grade at PFF at 82.3. He's having a hell of a year. What will Tomlin say about DK Metcalf? Well, we're going to find out momentarily. I don't have a guess, really. I'm very curious to hear it. I think the suspension is going to get reduced, but that's just my opinion, to one game. So that'll be a focal point. I'm sure he'll be asked hypotheticals that he won't answer and shouldn't answer, really. There is no answer yet about what he would do if the Ravens won on Saturday night. But the question still needs to be asked and probably will. And right now, it's just, other than the Metcalf thing, it's pretty much good news. TJ Watt, going to be asked about him. Is he going to practice this week? This is the most fascinating Tomlin news conference of the year. Would you agree, Sean?
Yeah, maybe even a question about Will Howard.
Then why is Bob stalling? Why is Pompiani stealing the mic from him?
That's a good question.
It's almost 12:03, which means that Tomlin should be on. But of course, Bob wants the camera. So TJ is a mystery and remains a mystery. The last real thing of substance we saw was Adam Schefter's tweet the other day saying it's still, quote, murky. And we don't know when we're going to see him. Now, TJ was at the facility last week. The key question is he going to practice? Do you expect him to play?
I don't think he would play before the postseason, no.
But it's got to be asked today. And then with the Metcalf thing, you know, have you spoken to DK? What did he say happened? What do you expect the league to do? Are you in touch with the, you know, all that stuff with Roger Goodell? I don't know, but that's bound to come up for sure. In fact, that'll come up first. I don't know if he'll address it unsolicited or not. We're waiting on some other injured guys. Nick Herbig is one of them. And then we're going to hear him pontificate about the Cleve Brownies and about Shedeur Sanders and company. He should just skip that this week. He should just say, you know what? Usually I address the other team, but it's only Cleveland, so I'm just going to go straight.
That'd be a great strategy, yeah.
I'm going to go straight to your questions. What do you want me to say? He's going to talk about Myles Garrett. Maybe. Here he is.
Good afternoon. As always, I'll start with a brief synopsis, if you will, of the last performance. And there's certainly was a lot of significant things that transpired in that game, and it's just good to win games like that. I just think there's individual and collective growth when you come through the other side of tough circumstances like that, and certainly there were a lot in the game. You know, a lot's been written and said about the spectacular play, for example, by Kenny Gainwell that allowed us to go into the halftime tied 10-10. And certainly it was a spectacular play. But when I think about that possession, I think about those converted third downs. The first one by Pat Freiermuth, I think on third down and 10. And then I think there were two more by Adam Thielen that were third down and 10, third down and 11 like conversions. And to be quite honest with you, if we don't make those conversions, you don't get to hear about the quality play that Kenny made. And certainly, probably equally as important, we punt the ball away and they're probably coming back at us with an attempt or opportunity to extend the lead prior to the half. And so certainly the Kenny play was significant, but the whole sequence, those third down and 10, third down and 11 conversions that preceded it were equally as significant for a lot of reasons. And it's just good to rise up in moments like that as a collective. And I just think it's important that we recognize it. That's why we came together yesterday, man, to really analyze this tape and void the victory Monday, if you will, because it was just so much growth and so many things to lay to bed and gain an understanding of and appreciate, because we got to do more of that as the road gets narrow, certainly. I thought situational football was big. We won a tight red zone sequence there early in the game. We certainly knew that Detroit is an aggressive group, particularly early in the game in that area in the search for 7 points. I thought that sequence of events where we stood up and won that sequence was big. I thought equally as important was the backed up offense that followed. We didn't produce a scoring drive, but we had an earned first down, and it's so significant to get earned first downs when you're backed up. It gives you room to operate. It minimizes the potential of a subsequent score if you punt the ball away. I think on that third down, we hit Calvin Austin on our sideline, and that was big. By the same token, I thought we did a really good job in backed up defense. When we did turn the ball over with Darnell going in, our defense took the field and stymied the running game, and then on third down, we got a sack by Kyle Duggar that was significant. And so we played really good backed up offense. We played really good backed up defense in those examples. And certainly just a no blank component in our collective at the end of the game on the short field and just fighting down in and down out was significant. It certainly wasn't easy. We absorbed some penalties and so forth, but that's just a component of play. I just think largely, man, our guys cut their eyelids off, man, and didn't blink and stayed in the fight. And sometimes staying in the fight is probably the biggest asset in your hip pocket. And so that's what I mean when I say there's growth there. From an injury standpoint, we got a laundry list of things going on here. James Pierre worked out this morning. We'll see where that leads us. I'm sure he'll be limited, and we'll follow his progress throughout the week. No new update on TJ. I'm sure he's been in the building, but I'll gain further information about his potential participation at the early portions of the week and where that might lead. Siamalu, same thing, no update there. We had some Nick Herbig is looking optimistic in terms of game availability. He certainly will be limited in the early portions of the week. Some in-game things that happened. Brandon Echols with his groin. Don't know where that is. Certainly hopeful. We're certainly thin in the secondary, but that's life this time of year. We'll see where his participation might pick up as we push through the week and thus his availability. Jaylen Warren should be limited at the early portions of the week. Spencer Anderson, likewise, but we're optimistic that both guys will be available to us. As always, we'll do what's appropriate in terms of working hard and smart in an effort to get these guys and others to the stadium ready mentally and certainly in the best physical shape that we can get them in an effort to do so. Now, on to Cleveland. Been looking at these guys quite a bit, and certainly working with an edge as I sit here today at the doorstep of winning the division, man. I just don't take this opportunity lightly. Divisions are won on the road in those hostile environments in those opposing cities. And certainly we've had our issues in recent years in Cleveland. And so with that understanding, we're preparing and preparing with an edge. We were in a similar circumstance a year ago at the doorstep in Baltimore and wasn't able to get it done. And so I'm excited to be here. But also urgent about where we are. Got a lot of respect for this group, and I'll start first with their defense. You know, quite frankly, they're the number one unit in the AFC North. They are. Statistically, they're better than any other unit in the North offensively or defensively. They got what appears to be a slam dunk defensive player of the year. They got what appears to be a slam dunk defensive rookie of the year in their front seven. Myles Garrett has certainly been an issue for us in that venue. I think he's had 5 sacks against us in our last 2 trips, neither of which we won. And so we understand the gravity of what we're going into and how they engineer victory and who's significant in doing so. He's at the doorstep of history, and so we certainly have respect for that. They got a quality, experienced coordinator in Jim Schwartz who does a nice job dividing the labor up and really getting after people schematically. The environmental component of it, I'm sure, will be something to combat. It always is going to Cleveland. And so we got to put together a thoughtful plan. Certainly, we could potentially lack some significant people and so forth. But again, that's life. We better put together a thoughtful plan in terms of how we divide the labor up and put ourselves in position to engineer victory. Looking at their offense, they've changed a lot since the last time we played them. The last time we played them, Kevin Stefanski was the play caller. Now Tommy Reese is, and certainly the quarterback has changed. Shadur is doing a really good job. He's growing and growing each week from an outsider's perspective. And I think it's always cool when you're growing with company. Certainly see him gravitating towards some young players whose roles are expanding since the last time we played him. Can't say enough about Fanning and what he's doing. I think he's got 70 catches and over 700 yards as a rookie tight end. It's pretty special. Isaiah Bond's role has grown in recent weeks, and you see Shadur really looking for him down the field, and he's provided some splash for him. Acquisition they got from the Jets, and Malachi Corley wasn't heavily involved the last time we played him. He appears to be increasingly so now. Reverses and so forth, man, really utilizing his skill set and providing some splash for him. Man, it's really unfortunate that their top young runner got hurt. I just got a lot of respect for that young man and how he plays. And certainly I never want to see anybody get hurt significantly that way. And so just sending well wishes to him, but also understanding that one man's misfortune is another person's opportunity. And so I'm sure they have some capable guys that have been working behind the scenes and readying themselves for their opportunity. And I certainly have respect for that and the potential of that and the unknown component of that. We're no different. You know, Dylan Cook is getting a lot of attention for what he's providing us. But, you know, he's been working in the ranks for a long period of time. And I was never asking him to be patient, but simply to work while he waited. And it's paid off for him and us through his participation. And so that's through the lens that we see their running back position. And we certainly better be ready to minimize the run. It's kind of been a catalyst for us in recent weeks, our ability to improve our run game on offense and minimize opposing units' run game. And so I imagine this week will be no different. But there's a lot of things to discuss, man. These waters run deep in divisional play. I'm excited about it. I'm sure our team will be. We better put together a good plan. We better have a no-blink mentality. It's December. It's that time of year. We anticipate being challenged and challenged in a big way. That's life in this league. But that's what we love, the competitors that we are. We love that. And so with that, open it up for questions.
Mike, I imagine you talked to DK Metcalf. Did he explain in your conversation what caused him to go over Costa Finn and why did he do it?
He did explain to me why he did what he did, and I certainly don't condone the behavior, but I support DK, and I really don't have a lot to add other than what I just told you. I think he has a hearing this afternoon, an appeals hearing, and I certainly don't want to weigh in prior to that, and certainly I've heard more recently that there might be legal ramifications, and so I better be careful about what I say and how I say it. I'm sure you guys got a lot of questions. I understand that, but that's just the posture I'm in as I sit here today with so many components of this thing yet to be resolved.
Mike, I know it was an unusual situation, but does the team have any protocols to sort of prevent or to monitor, make sure players don't kind of go over there and have that sort of interaction?
I know there's a lot going on in the silent during game.
Exactly.
Mike. So is that a yes or a no? Do you have protocols or not?
We certainly may, but I might not be privy to it because my eyes and attention is what's going on the field. But we have a top-notch security group, et cetera. Everybody in the National Football League does. It's not only from an organization's perspective, but it's a global component to it as well.
Mike, from a football perspective, what do you lose if DK is not available specifically this week?
One man's misfortune is another man's opportunity. A guy like Roman Wilson, for example, who has been working extremely hard and growing throughout the course of this thing, but had his role reduced in recent weeks, man. I'm excited what this opportunity might mean for him to display growth in the midst of the time where he hadn't been participating, to show his professionalism and his readiness and how he's been sharpening his sword for battle in the ranks while he hadn't been playing, for example. And so I just think that's always the lens in which I see it, whether it's discipline in nature or injury related. You can waste a lot of time pining for those that you don't have. As a leader, I think it's my job to work and prepare those that I do have and position them to live out their dreams and be positive contributors to a winning effort.
When you say support DK, what, if anything, does the organization do to aid him in his appeals process?
Again, I'm behind the scenes in that. I'm sure he's gained some assistance from us from a front office perspective, but I've just been putting together a plan to play in Cleveland this week.
Mike, two questions. What was your reaction when you saw that video?
I'll keep that to myself.
Does the organization or you prepare players for volatile rhetoric thrown their way? And have you heard it in the past? How have you reacted to it?
You know, I just think volatile rhetoric is a component of our business today, unfortunately. It just is. But not only our business, college, you know, youth sport parents. It's just, you know, I think it's just a component of sport that's developed and developed in a big way in recent years, and it's unfortunate. But really, I have nothing to say about the matter other than that.
Mike, when you say legal ramifications, do you mean from DK's side or the fan side? Or blah, what's the... Can you expand on that?
No, I can't.
Mike, DK has a history with this fan. It was reported, he's reported this fan to security before. Is there more the NFL should or could do to protect players in that situation?
Again, I respect your questions and the fact that you guys have questions, but it's just so many components of this situation that are yet to be resolved. Me speaking on it and speaking on it in detail and particularly expressing my opinion regarding things doesn't help the circumstance in any way.
Mike, DK has obviously had a number of sort of flashpoint incidents over the course of his career. What's he been like on a day-in, day-out basis with you, and is that a part of your saying, I support him?
You know, he's been great. He cares. He works hard. He's a heck of a guy. He's a good teammate. And that's why he's easy to support.
Mike, no TJ or Nick Herbig last week. Just how did you see that group step up, specifically Jack Sawyer?
You know, love the work that Jack gave us. Certainly love the work that Alex Highsmith gave us, although we anticipated it from him. But Jay Moon as well. But schematically and strategically, you don't replace TJ and Herbig. And we understood that. And that's why we talked a lot about destroying the pocket from the interior. We did have full strength on our interior pass rush. They had an elevated center, I think, on their side. And so we approached the game that we had to win on the interior because we could get them off the spot and destroy the rhythm of their operations in doing so. And so schematically, we put together a plan with that in mind. And it didn't take long for that to show itself. I think the second play of the game, Benton had a sack. And so I just think that, you know, you adapt, you do what it is that you need to do in an effort to engineer victory. We were strong inside. We lacked depth on the perimeter. We put the challenge to our interior people to impact the game in that way. We put some schematics behind it, and we went about playing.
Is TJ at the stage where he's recovered from his procedure, and is this just about getting back into football shape for him?
I think that's a fair estimation, but again, I'll let him speak in terms of his medical. I think for me, to talk about injury is one thing. To talk about medical is something else. And so that's one of the reasons why I've been a little bit hesitant, besides my lack of expertise on the subject matter.
Do you anticipate that TJ is ready to talk in the near future, maybe this week, about everything going on?
I do.
Do you anticipate him returning to practice then this week?
Again, I don't have that information as I sit here today. I'm hopeful.
Talked to Patrick Queen last week. He noted that something that he had to grow in this year was his communication with Terrell Austin. He said he would blow up and not fully express himself. But he said it was you that came to him and said, we have to fix this. What led to you stepping in, and how did that conversation lead? How does that impact your defense?
You know, Patrick is a heck of a player, but being the defensive quarterback is a new role for him. He didn't have that responsibility, although he was a significant player for the Ravens. Roquan had those responsibilities. And so it's my job as a leader, man, to help guys grow where necessary. And certainly identified that as a space of growth for him. And it's really got nothing to do with playing. It's about absorbing the responsibility or the informal responsibility that comes with being defensive quarterback. And to his credit, man, he's not been resistant to it in any way. He's embraced the challenges, and I'm pretty transparent and challenging him in that way. But it's been a fun process. I like being a part of someone's individual growth and development, particularly the development of a leader, because there's benefit for him.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Tim, there's benefit for the collective when you pour into that.
Mike, if you find out...
I'm sorry, did you have a follow-up?
Just a quick follow-up. How have you seen that leading to an increased performance from your defense, seeing that improvement from...
I think I could point to a lot of things that's a component of that. We've established some more stability within the unit over this journey. We absorbed a lot of attrition. We acquired new players that weren't with us in training camp, et cetera. And so to attribute that would be a stretch. There's many variables and many layers to that discussion.
Mike, if you find out Saturday night that the game against the Browns doesn't mean anything in terms of the division title, will it alter any last-minute decisions on personnel?
You know, it may. I hadn't thought about it at all. To be quite honest with you, I just found out this morning that game is Saturday night. I just learned to be tunnel vision over the years. But as I sit here and make plans today for tomorrow in an effort to lay a foundation to engineer victory, that's something that's of very little relevance to me today. I have plenty of time to ponder those things after we get a little bit more solid about preparing ourselves to play the Cleveland Browns.
Mike, you have some significant milestones either approached or coming up. Any thoughts?
None. It's about this journey with this group. I'm doing a disrespect to this journey and these guys that I'm fortunate enough to lead and work with, if I view it any other way. I'm appreciative of some of those things. It's been a blessing, but really of no relevance as I stand here today, man, leaning in on this Cleveland Browns opportunity this week. It's just so many people in this collective that it doesn't apply to. And this football being what it is, it's the ultimate team game. I better display that focus.
Do you expect Dylan Cook to get some help if Myles Garrett's on the other side? And how much help has he been getting, in these last few games?
Everybody gets help against Myles Garrett. I just finished watching San Francisco tape. Trent Williams got help. And so certainly he's going to get help, but certainly everybody has gotten help. And it had to slow down the train. He still's got 22 sacks. I imagine most of those are not one-on-one plays. And so we're going to do our due diligence, but we're not going to act like or pretend that we're reinventing the wheel here. We better put schematics around him. He better play well. And we better stay out of one-dimensional passing circumstances. And you still might not stop the bomb from going off. That's been how impactful this guy's play has been this year.
What was y'all's evaluation of Shador in the spring, and sort of how have you seen him develop in the last couple?
It does not matter. He's not a Pittsburgh Steeler. He plays for the Cleveland Browns. I'll let the Cleveland Browns talk about his evaluations.
What have you seen from him these last few weeks in terms of his development from the first time he got in maybe to the most recent?
Again, I haven't looked at it through that lens. I'm looking at it through the lens of somebody that we need to compete against this week. His growth and development is not my charge. Preparing a plan to minimize what he and they do is my charge.
Mike, Garrett's always been very good, but he's 30 years old now. He's having the best year of his career. What have you seen that's different about his play or the way he's using him that has him at the doorstep of history, as you said?
He's a freakish talent. He's experienced. He's healthy. But he's also probably in year two with Jim Schwartz. And it's reasonable to expect people to get better from year one to year two, whether it's an individual or whether it's a collective. And certainly Jim's been doing it a long time and doing it at a high level. I imagine there's an uptick in not only him but everybody in terms of just being in year two in that system. And what you're watching is probably the benefit of that.
I don't think they've got a point to run away from Cam Hayward a lot this season. And in this game, when they did it, it seemed like your guys really stepped up. Keanu Bett and Derek Harmon. What have you seen from their efforts to improve in the run defense, and where are they at in that effort?
I've read some of the narrative about Derek Harmon and his run game exploits, and so I'm not going to do anything to diminish that. Maybe he is just the monster that the narrative says he is.
talk about the growth and development of Kenneth Gainwell and how he fits within the boundaries of your team.
You know, man, Kenny's an awesome football player first. He's multi-talented. I've told this story several times when speaking of him. He really got on our radar when we played him a year ago when he was in Philadelphia. He was really significant in that game. He returned kicks. He covered kicks, made a tackle on kickoff. He converted a couple significant third downs in the first half that produced, I think, 17 points for them. You know, just Saquon cast a large shadow. And so we certainly thought he was a capable guy and that there was more there if given an opportunity, and I think he's proven that.
Mike, you mentioned you're going to prepare with an edge and that it's been a struggle at times in Cleveland. Why has it been? Why is
Myles Garrett. I outlined it. He had 5 sacks the last 2 times we've been there. He's a game wrecker. He provides the wave that others ride, and particularly in that environment when you're working on silent counts and one-dimensional passing circumstances, et cetera, it is significant.
There were 4 very pivotal OPI calls in both directions in that game, particularly in the red zone. I know a quarterback can get there, but is there a functionality to how play calling is taking place these days that are drawing those flags out, or have you found there's been an emphasis on the league to curtail that?
No, sometimes officiating crews have personalities like units and teams. We scout officiating crews in a similar way. I think going into that game, that crew had called the second most penalties per game of all the crews in the NFL this year. And so we went into the game understanding that we needed to play clean, that could be a component of the outcome of the game. And so that's just football in today's world. There's information at our disposal. We're able to scout crews and understand their personalities, the things that they call, the things that they don't call, and prepare during the course of the week accordingly.
Mike, what is it about Ben Skowronek that has made him such a good special teams player and gunner? And was that tackle in Detroit an example of why he is a Pro Bowl player?
He cares a lot. He cares hard. He's really talented. He's a football player first. And what I mean by that, he's a wideout who is a very good tackler. In the same ways that Kenny Gainwell is a running back who is a very good tackler. And you just always love doing business with guys like that. They provide value in other ways other than getting the ball. Really enjoying our experience with Ben. It feels a lot like Darius Haywood Bay. And we had some significant years with him as a wide receiver who was really special teams capable and had passion in that space and knowledge and expertise in that space and enjoyed tackling.
You were talking about the injuries. I don't think you mentioned Calvin Austin. Is there an update on his hamstring?
I don't have one. I acknowledge that it is there, but I don't know if he was in the building yet or where that might be in terms of his participation or non-participation tomorrow and thus forward. And I'm sorry, I forgot that.
Jack, so you pitch into the collective on defense, especially this being his first start and the effort that he put in the run defense.
When given an opportunity, man, Jack continues to prove that he belongs. But that's what we loved about his profile, to be quite honest with you. He's not a guy that runs from it. He's a guy that runs to it. He's got unbelievable belief in self for a young guy. He's made some plays already. He had a sack going into the game, an interception. He makes a lot of plays on special teams, and oftentimes a young guy that's not getting a lot of defensive opportunity, that's the first space that they show their capabilities, and he's done that. And so I don't think any of us are surprised by his willingness and ability to be a positive contributor to us. Just that's what we expect from him.
How do you feel about the collective of young players that you guys have been amassing on defense, guys like Keanu in his third year, Jack as a rookie, Harmon as a rookie, Black as a rookie? Just you guys seem to have a lot of young guys that are pitching in and learning how to fit in.
It's been needed. Particularly up front, as I mentioned, we've absorbed a lot of attrition during the course of this thing. Dean Lowry, Dan, Loudermilk, one man's misfortune is another guy's opportunity. And I think we did the right thing, man, fortifying depth with those bigs dating back to last spring, acquiring those 2 young men via the draft. And to go along with Jack Sawyer, it's certainly been needed.
Anyone else?
If you clinch the division, do you plan on resting guys in week 18, and what does that mean?
I haven't contemplated the ramifications of Saturday's game, so you know I hadn't pondered that.
Mike, what is the value of a Spencer Anderson and all the different...
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. and the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Some things he can do, and how unique is it to have a guy that can go guard, tackle, fullback?
Man, can't say enough about his versatility and his intellect. But, you know, he did that at Maryland. He played every position other than left tackle at Maryland. And that was a component of us really liking his profile. You know, you got to value versatility when you're picking later in the draft. And he certainly displayed that. And but I don't want to have him in a box either. We believe he's a guy that has starter capabilities and the potential for that in his future as well. But certainly in the short term, he's been an asset to us with all the things that he's able to do.
Mike, just one more on DK, just to be clear, because there have been some second and third hand reports. Did DK tell you that the fans said a slur to him?
I won't discuss what he and I discussed, and I think I've been pretty clear there.
Anyone else?
Will you speak on his behalf at the hearing that he has today?
Again, I'm not discussing anything as it pertains to this because it doesn't help the unresolved component of this circumstance and situation.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
All right. A very interesting Mike Tomlin news conference. Here's what stood out to me as far as the DK Metcalf thing is concerned. A couple of little nuggets there. One, I certainly don't condone the behavior. Said he supports DK, whatever that might mean. I certainly don't condone the behavior. That stood out. Also, Tomlin went into, you know, he was asked about the volatile rhetoric that happens. People saying stuff to players and coaches and really bad things. And he basically said it's a component of our business today, unfortunately. It just is. He mentioned youth sports, college. And to me, the unspoken there was a repeat of what he said earlier. I don't condone the behavior. The unspoken part of that is it's part of our world and you can't react to it. That's what he was saying. I don't condone the behavior. And then I thought of something else, Sean, as we go along here that didn't click for me earlier. But if DK Metcalf had had an issue with this fan, I don't know if it was last year, earlier in his career for sure, in Detroit, was that known going into the game? Because if it was, there should have been extra security, right? I don't know whether it was or not, but if it was a problem before with this particular fan, man, you would hope that security would know that. I guess maybe that would be tough to know unless DK tells you. But the security in general in this situation seemed to be lax to me. It really did. It didn't seem to be doing what it should be doing when a player starts to approach the crowd in the middle of a game. Maybe I'm wrong about that. What?
Tony mentioned, you know, with the Eagles, Big Dom is so prevalent, right? He's become this, like, face of the team for their security.
Now, is Big Dom out on the sidelines, or is he back by the wall, you know, that keeps fans from players? Here's the thing. Given everything we've seen in pro sports over the years, and given the state of the world these days, anytime you're in an environment like that and there's a wall separating people from the combatants, from the players, there should be tight security in that particular area. And it didn't seem to be that way at all from the video I saw. It was the guy talking to DK. Then DK starts to make his way over. And he says something to a security person dressed in police-like gear. And the person just lets him go after they have. I don't know what that conversation was. And then that person, the security person, just sort of backed off and observed everything. And then there was another security person in a red shirt that said security, another security person who did nothing but watch like he was a fan. I'm sorry, but if I'm a player, first of all, or a coach in that environment, I wouldn't be happy with the security to start out with. Like, what are we doing here? Anything could happen at any time in an environment like this in pro sports. You know what I mean? Go ask Monica Seles about that when she was attacked on the tennis court. What are we doing? Nobody is standing there vigilantly protecting players from fans, at least having a watch the whole game. It didn't look like it. And if they were, they didn't do anything when a player started to approach the crowd.
At the highest level, which the NFL obviously is, you would think that they would have to have security there. If nothing else, even if they're not intervening necessarily from a physical aspect, so that they could be someone who can maybe convey what they heard in the exchange, right? So it's not a he said with a fan and a player. They have someone who's an arbitrator there to make sure the verbal exchange doesn't get out of hand. I agree with you. You would think that that is something that should be universal at every stadium in the NFL. Each team could bring their own security.
Whoa, where are you going, right? That's what you need to say to DK, really. Like,
yes.
Where are you going? What's up?
And a security guard, if Metcalf is going to go over there, should be stride for stride with him, kind of getting in between, just so that if the fan does try to throw something, for instance, it's not hitting a player.
Right. In the end, and that doesn't absolve Metcalf, and I don't think Mike Tomlin absolved him. I certainly don't condone the behavior. That's the money line from that news conference, pretty clearly. So he's saying there, basically, no matter what was said, and, you know, I compare it to Shaq Lawson, the Bills defensive end in Philly last year, said that a fan and his teammates corroborated. You know, it's still a he said thing, but his teammates said that a fan was using threatening language against players and their families. If I hear that, I'm very tempted, you know, to go and confront somebody. But is that I have to not do that. That's the thing. I have to not do that. Now, Lawson went there and pushed a fan, and the NFL didn't even fine him a penny. That was 2 years ago in November. Here we have a situation where Metcalf went and physically confronted a fan, and he's getting two games. Something seems very inconsistent about that, for sure. But in the end, I'm with Tomlin. I'm with James Harrison, even. believe it or not, and Joe Haden, who both said, yeah, man, I would have been tempted to go beat that guy up, but you can't do it. You can't do it. I certainly don't condone the behavior. Let's talk to Brian Batko coming up next. There was a lot in that news conference. Man, you don't hear Tomlin with rookies talk the way he just did about Derek Harmon. That was tremendous. And you know he's read some of the narratives out there, and those narratives say you're giving up a buck 90 when he's not in the game and less than 90 when he is. And he said basically that maybe the narrative is correct that this guy is a freaking monster. He sure looked like it. That was Sewell he was going against, throwing around maybe the best offensive lineman in the game. That's scary stuff. And then on Myles Garrett, maybe the best defensive lineman in the game, Tomlin was just tremendous on that, asking if Dylan Cook will get help, and he laughed, and he said, I was just watching Niners tape. Trent Williams got help, for God's sakes. Everybody gets help, and it hasn't slowed down the train, he said. Sometimes that bomb goes off anyway. And then the other big story is TJ Watt. And Tomlin wouldn't go so far as to say TJ will practice, but only that he's hopeful. So we have a lot on the table for the Batconi and Mongoose today, don't we? Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Time to check out Lynch Golf Sales. It's 1240. Great place for holiday gifts at Pine Creek, the best golf store for all your Christmas gifts. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer.
That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.